Gopi channa ba la ba girivara dari. Gopi channa ba la ba girivara dari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jam Vishnu Pad Padamamsa Padvaja Kacharya Asto Tadasata Shishimad. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jam Vishnu Pad Padamamsa Padvaja Kacharya Asto Tadasata Shishimad. Srimagu Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Ananti Kodi Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsiko Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadigur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyamakund Radha Kund Gita Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Jagannapuri Dham Ki Jai, New Dorka Dham Ki Jai, Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Rukmini Dorkadish Ki Jai. Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Srimati Subhadra Ki Jai. Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. Jumunamaya Gangamaya Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Jagir Ki Jai, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Haribo, All Glories to All the Assembled Devotees Hare Krishna, All Glories to All the Assembled Devotees Hare Krishna, All Glories to All the Assembled Devotees Hare Krishna, all glories Sri Sri Guru Sri Guru Nanak Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're going to be reading texts 48 to 50. So what I'll do is I'll chant 48 and 49, and then we'll chant 50 together. Okay? This is about the wisdom of the sages and kings. We're going to see how they relate to one another. There's a It's a conversation between Kardama Muni and Swayambhuva Manu. And it's recorded in this ancient text of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's going to offer us profound lessons that resonate across time. And these lessons remind us of the importance of seeking spiritual advancement and fulfilling our societal and familial responsibilities. So let's dive into the verses. So this is text number 48. I'll chant this one. Ato tajam apayatam nridevam pranatam pura saparyaya paryagrinat pratinandhyana rupaya. Translation and purport. Seeing that the monarch had come to his hermitage and was bowing before him, the sage greeted him with benediction and received him with due honor. Purport. Emperor Swayambhuva Manu not only approached the cottage of dried leaves possessed by the hermit Kardama, but also offered respectful obeisances unto him. Similarly, it is a duty of the hermit to offer blessings to kings who used to approach his hermitage in the jungle. Text 49. Grihi tarhanam asinam samyatam prinayan muni smadan bhagavara desham itiyaha slakshnaya gira. Translation. After receiving the sage's attention, the king sat down and was silent. Recalling the instructions of the Lord, Kardama then spoke to the king as follows, delighting him with his sweet accents. There's no purport to that one. So let's do text number 50 together. Nunam chakramanam deva. Sitam samrakshanayate. Vadaya chasatam yastvam. Harir shakti hir palini. Nunam chankramanam deva. Satam samrakshanayate. Vadaya chasatam yastvam. Harir shaktir hi palini. Nunam shankramanam deva. Satam samrakshanayate. Vadhaya chasatam yastam. Harir shaktir hi palini. Please chant. Nunam chakramanam deva. Satam samrakshanayate. Vadhaya chastatam yastvam. Hare shaktir hi palini. Nunam chakramanam deva. Satam samrakshanayate. Vadaya chastatam yastvam. Hadir Shaktir Hi Palini. Vaishnavis. Nunam Chakramanam Deva. Yachakrasampaspan. Nunam chakramanam deva. Satam samraksanayate. Vadaya chasatam yastvam. Nunam chankramantam neva. Satam samrakshanayate. Vadaya chasatam yastam. Hare Shaktihi Palini. Hare Shaktir Pilanini. Nunam Shirli Chankramanam. The tour. Deva. O Lord. Satam. Of the virtuous. Samraksanaya. Sanaya. For the protection. Te. Your. Vadhaya. For killing. Cha. And. Asatam. Of the demons. Ya, the person who. Tuam, you. Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shakti, the energy. He, since. Palini, protecting. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The tour you have undertaken, O Lord, is surely intended to protect the virtuous and kill the demons, since you embody the protecting energy of Sri Hari. Purport. It appears from many Vedic literatures, especially histories like Srimad Bhagavatam and the Puranas, that the pious kings of old used to tour their kingdoms in order to give protection to the pious citizens and to chastise or kill the impious. Sometimes they used to kill animals in the forests to protect the killing art or practice the killing art, because without such practice, they would not be able to kill the undesirable elements. Kshatriyas are allowed to commit violence in that way because violence for a good purpose is a part of their duty. Here, two terms are clearly mentioned. Vadhaya, for the purpose of killing, and asatam, those who are undesirable. The protecting energy of the king is supposed to be the energy of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 4:8, the Lord says, Paritanaya sadunam vinasaya chaduskritam. The Lord descends to give protection to the pious and to kill the demons. The potency, therefore, to give protection to the pious and kill the demons or undesirables is directly an energy from the Supreme Lord. And the king or the chief executive of the state is supposed to possess such energy. In this age, it is very difficult to find such a head of state who is expert in killing the undesirables. Modern heads of state sit very nicely in their palaces and try, without reason, to kill innocent persons. Wow. Om Gyana Tamanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshusumitamina Tasmai Sri Guru Vedama Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Guru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Chubhishcha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Okay, so the verses again. Seeing that the monarch had come to his hermitage and was bowing before him, the sage greeted him with benediction and received him with due honor. After receiving the sage's attention, the king sat down and was silent. Recalling the instructions of the Lord, Kardama then spoke to the king as follows, delighting him with his sweet accents. So he arrived on the exact day the Lord predicted that he would come to bring his daughter. So he was recalling that. Oops, let's see. The tour you have undertaken, O Lord, is surely intended to protect the virtuous and kill the demons, since you embody the protecting energy of Sri Hari. So that was nice. So I'd like to go, Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavad Gita in this purport here. You see 4.8. So let's go to that verse. It's very nicely relates to this pastime here. This is it. We could chant it together if you like. Paritranaya sarunam vanasaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So this is, Prabhupada quotes this verse in the purport in our verse today, text number 50. And it supports the idea that the king, as the embodiment of the protecting energy of Sri Hari, is responsible for protecting the virtuous and punishing the wicked. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he says, to protect the righteous. And in the Bhagavad Gita says, to deliver the pious. So in the same, protect the righteous and to annihilate the wicked and reestablish the principles of Dharma. He appears millennium after millennium. So this explains why the king tours his kingdom. He's out there looking around to protect the pious and to chastise the impious or kill them. This is what the king was doing. Was it Parikshit Maharaj? When he was touring his kingdom and he found Kali. And he was about to chastise him and actually kill him. But he surrendered at that time. So this is nice, this Bhagavad Gita 4.8. It's a source that provides key insight into when and why the Lord descends into the earth. So the duty is to protect Dharma. So whenever and wherever there's a decline in religious practice, a rise in irreligion, then he comes for that. It is his duty to protect Dharma or righteousness. So, and then also the principles of religion are laid down in the Vedas, and any discrepancies in following his principles make one irreligious. And then one has to be punished. So these are the different missions the Lord appears, that each incarnation of the Lord has a specific mission, and they're all described and revealed in the scriptures. So this suggests that the Lord descends to the earth. It's not arbitrary, but it's rather carefully planned and executed, you know, with specific purposes. So this verse, it provides a comprehensive understanding of the Lord's role in upholding Dharma and the importance of adhering to the religious principles and the significance of the Lord's incarnations in fulfilling specific missions. Prabhupada talks about that in his purport to this particular verse. So it's nice how this is the king. He's supposed to carry that energy of the Lord to protect. So just to give a quick summary here. So we're on this particular chapter, the conversation between Manu and Kardama. And these are and then in the verses we're going to discuss today is 38 to 44, it's descriptions of the Bindu Sarovara. Bindu Sarovar, right? Bindu Sarovar. So it's a holy place, holy lake. It's a place of divine significance and spiritual transformation. And it actually contains the tears of the Lord. And it's surrounded by beautiful trees, creepers, birds, animals. We'll try to depict that just to kind of get our meditation absorbed in this beautiful place. as we go on. So also, we're discussing here the bodily appearance. It's described there. Kardama and Manu. How he receives Kardama, how he receives Manu, and how they respect each other. It's very nicely described there. So we'll discuss that. So this is where the talks about the holy lake there. And then it talks about the bodily appearance of Kardama, which Bhrigupati covered yesterday very nicely. And then we see here 48 to 49 is the exchange of respect. You see between the king and a sage, who's actually a brahmana. He's like a brahmana. And then shows Kardama glorifies Manu as a responsible king and inquired the reason for his visit. So that ends the chapter there. So we're almost finished with the chapter. So that gives you a good eye-opening summary. So as we see this sacred place, it's, as described there, it's actually from the tears of the Lord. When he saw Kardama performing so many austerities, out of compassion, he was shedding tears, and this holy lake was formed, Bindu Sarovar. So if you bathe in these holy waters, it relieves one of numerous, contaminations, sins, so many benefits. So I was putting down together different benefits from these healing waters. And this is what I found out, that it cleanses sins. They bestow divine blessings. And it's the healing of physical ailments too. It's also said that they have healing properties and cure both physical ailments and mental anguish. And not only that, it helps you through spiritual progress. If you bathe in this lake and you perform rituals, then it facilitates your progress and it brings you closer to Krishna. And it brings you inner peace and tranquility. The tranquil ambience of the lake and the natural beauty, its surroundings, creates an ideal environment for meditation and self-reflection, which can lead to inner peace and tranquility. So I'll try to depict that, and as we go here, we're going to go through like a little meditation into that lake. And then, so it's not only limited to this holy place alone, there's many other sacred places in the world when you can bathe in the holy waters and experience similar benefits. Just like the Ganges, you go there, it's considered to be a very holy river. And it also purifies one's sins and grants salvation. And then there's the Jamuna River. It's another holy river. And it's, if you bathe in that river, it's believed to bestow divine blessings and bring you closer to Krishna. And then there's the Pushkar Lake. It's in the state of Rajasthan. And it also grants wishes and brings good fortune. And then there's the Manasa Sarovar. That's a lake in Tibet. It's located in the Himalayas. And it's the abode where Lord Shiva, was there. So this also is believed to purify one from their sins and bring spiritual enlightenment. So it's very nice. So we can see the Lord is there benedicting Kardama Muni. So this is the teardrops of compassion is what the Lord created there. So here's our meditation. So as it's described in the Bhagavatam, the holy lake of Bindu Sarovar was surrounded by clusters of fruit trees. It provided shelter for animals, birds, the trees like Kandamba, Champaka, mango trees, beautiful fragrant flowers, and ducks and swans and cranes. So it's very tranquil. And we could just kind of meditate on this just to get an idea of how it goes. So the sound is not quite high enough, I guess. Sorry about that. But anyway, this gives you, there's no sound. We had different sounds of birds and peacocks and cuckoos and these special birds. It's very amazing. And then this particular cow. Did you want to turn it up? Oh, it's on mute? Oh, I didn't know. Okay, this. You want to play it again? Okay, let's try it again. Okay, let's see. Okay, here's our meditation on Bindu Sarovar. Up, up. Yeah. So there's different, there's like bees, peacocks, cuckoos, musk deer. We'll talk about the musk deer. It's really amazing. And this cow is also very interesting. It's called the Gavayas. And as mentioned, its hair is used in temple worship from its tail. And they use it for the make the chamar whisks. So it's very nice. So that's great. But yeah, as we mentioned, there's a special musk deer. This is what I found. It supposedly it looks like this. They're not found in every forest, but in places like Bindu Sarovar, they're there. And they're always intoxicated by the aroma of the musk secreted from their navels. And so this is the musk deer's plight. And he's actually, and it talks about our seeking spiritual bliss. So we naturally seek happiness, right? But external physical pleasures always leave us unsatisfied. So like the musk deer searches madly for the source of the fragrance it produces, not realizing it comes from within itself. So similarly, we look everywhere for happiness except to the spiritual pleasure found within through serving Krishna. So the soul is part of Krishna and is meant for spiritual happiness. And the body is temporary. So physical pleasures seem meager compared to spiritual bliss from satisfying Krishna. And if we just gratify our senses, then we miss the inner happiness like the musk deer. So here's a couple like nice verses kind of put together here. Seeking joy but grasping shadows, the musk deer dashes to and fro. He smells his own rare fragrance, but never thinks to look below. In pursuit of joy like the musk deer's chase, we wander far in every single place. Yet within ourselves the treasure lies, the wellspring of bliss, a sweet surprise. Turn within, O restless wanderer, to the following holy stream. Krishna's service fills the heart's cup and awakens bliss supreme. So this is a nice, I kind of put it together. Yeah. So, now we see, this is where Swayambhuva Manu approaches with his daughter, Kardama Muni, who is performing his austerities in this special holy lake, Bindu Sarovar. So, as we mentioned, this is how Kardama glorifies the king. So he says, Your Majesty, although traveling to inspect the condition of your kingdom, you must have had some special purpose to come to my hermitage. I ask you, O valiant king, the purpose for which you have come here. Whatever it may be, we shall carry it out without reservation. The tour you have undertaken, O Lord, is surely intended to protect the virtuous and kill the demons, since you embody the protecting energy of Lord Hari. So that's our verse today. He said, If you did not mount your victorious jeweled chariot, whose mere presence threatens culprits, if you did not produce fierce sounds by the twanging of your bow, and if you did not roam about the world like the brilliant sun, leading a huge army whose trampling feet cause the globe of the earth to tremble, then all the moral laws governing the varnas and ashrams created by the Lord himself would be broken by the rogues and rascals. So just see how the king, Cardamom Muni is glorifying the king. So in this, and now we'll see how the king glorifies Cardamom Muni. Seeing that the monarch had come to his hermitage and was bowing before him, the sage greeted him with benediction and received him with due honor. The sage was tall, his eyes were large like the petals of a lotus, and he had matted locks on his head. He was clad in rags. So Ambuvimana approached and saw him to be somewhat soiled, like an unpolished gem. When necessary, you assume the part of the sun god, the moon god, Agni, the god of fire, Indra, the lord of paradise, Vayu, the wind god, Yama, the god of punishment, Dharma, the god of piety, and Varuna, the god presiding over the waters. All obeisances to you were none other than Lord Vishnu. So the king was actually glorifying him. So these are kind of related. It's similar to, they're both relating similar praises of each other. So there's a verse that was spoken about yesterday about the beauty of a devotee. And Prabhupada quotes that verse, Snigda Pangava Lokanat, that he was fortunate to see, Cardamom was fortunate to see the Supreme Lord face to face, and he looked healthy because he received the nectar and sound vibrations from the lotus lip of the personality of Godhead. So similarly, one who hears the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, also improves in health. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that we've actually seen that many brahmacharis, grihastas, connected with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, have improved in health and luster has come to their faces. It is essential that a brahmachari engaged in spiritual advancement look very healthy and lustrous. The comparison of the sage to an unpolished gem is very appropriate. So in this regard, I'm reminded of Shankarshan Das Adhikari. I guess you could call him Maharaj, right? But he remembers that once there was these drug smugglers, and they thought they would be tricky and bring some drugs, you know, through the airport to go to a different country. So they thought they'd dress up like Hare Krishnas, you know. So, but the security guards, they've seen the devotees before, right? And then they saw these guys coming through, and they noticed they didn't have any luster. You know, they didn't look like happy, blissful devotees. So he came up to them and he approached them, and he questioned them, and he found that they're actually drug smugglers. So he can't imitate it. And actually, in the light of the Bhagavad, Srila Prabhupada mentions that how, you know, during the rainy season, all the living entities of the land, the sky, the water become very much refreshed, exactly like one who engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And then he says again here, we have practical experience that this, with our students of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, before becoming students, they were dirty looking. Although they had naturally beautiful personal features, due to having no information of Krishna consciousness, they appeared very dirty and wretched. And since they have taken to Krishna consciousness, their health has improved, and by their following the rules and regulations, their bodily luster has increased. When they are dressed with saffron-colored cloth, with tilak on their foreheads, and beads on their hands and on their necks, they look exactly as if they have come from Vaikuntha. That's from Light of the Bhagavat. Actually, it's quoted in the Krishna book too. It's from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada mentions it. So here we see the conversation between Cardamom Muni and Swayambhuva Manu, as it's recorded in this ancient Srimad Bhagavatam. It shows how we can fulfill our, as I mentioned, societal and familial responsibilities. So there's some life lessons that we're learning from this conversation, that we should seek wisdom from enlightened souls. So Cardamom Muni's profound understanding of spiritual matters stems from his association with Lord Vishnu, and it highlights the significance of seeking guidance from enlightened individuals. Like in today's world, you know, we can find mentors, teachers who possess specialized knowledge and wisdom, and that enables us to grow personally and professionally. So spiritual advancement also, it's needed. So because then that will lead to true success. So Kardama Muni emphasis on spiritual realization as the ultimate goal of human life reminds us to prioritize our spiritual journey. Striving for material success alone often leaves us feeling unfulfilled. But by seeking spiritual fulfillment, we can find lasting happiness and contentment in that way. So Swayambhuva Manu's concern was for the welfare of his people and his daughter. This illustrates the importance of fulfilling our societal and familial obligations. As responsible citizens, we must actively participate in our communities and contribute to their betterment. And as family members, we must nurture relationships and strive to create a harmonious and supportive environment. So mutual respect and cooperation between leaders and sages. So this is what we're finding between this conversation, which is amazing. So this exemplifies the importance of this mutual respect. And so when leaders value the counsel of wise individuals, they can make more informed decisions that benefit society. And similarly, when intellectuals engage with leaders, they can contribute their knowledge and expertise to improve governance. So this is what's happening there. So, yeah. So this is what, a couple of quotes just to give you an idea how the king is respecting the sage. He says, "O great sage, graciously be pleased to listen to the prayer of my humble self, for my mind is troubled by affection for my daughter." And Prabhupada relates this to the disciple and the spiritual master, that having received a message and executed it perfectly and sincerely, the disciple has the right to ask a particular favor from the spiritual master. So this is what he's asking there. So, and then he said, "The moment she heard from the sage Narada about your noble character, learning, beautiful appearance, youth, and other virtues, she fixed her mind upon you." So this is what Devahuti says. She, in those days, there wasn't so much social intercourse, but she actually heard by hearing about Kardama Muni from an authority like Narada Muni. So this is a better experience than gaining personal understanding, Prabhupada says. So this is the king bringing his daughter before the sage and offering him to the sage. So thus, offering him to the sage, he was relieved of responsibility by handing over his daughter to a suitable man. So Swayambhuva Manu, his mind agitated by feelings of separation, embraced his affectionate daughter with both arms. So this is like the father, he's in anxiety. And he's like a mother also. He's like a mother's responsibility for his children until they marry. And so the emperor was unable to bear the separation of his daughter. Therefore, tears poured from his eyes again and again, drenching his daughter's head. And he cried, "My dear mother, my dear daughter." So in this way, so sometimes the father addresses the daughter like that, in affection as a mother, "My darling," you know, like that. So this is a nice description there. So here we see the daughter Manu. She was so fully devoted to her husband, and she looked upon him as greater even than providence. And she expected great blessings from him. And having served him for a long time, she grew weak and emaciated due to her religious observances. And then seeing her condition, Kardama, the foremost of celestial sages, was overcome with compassion and spoke to her in a voice with great love. And this is what he said. This is some verses. "O respectful daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, today I'm very much pleased with you for your great devotion and most excellent loving service. Since the body is so dear to embodied beings, I'm astonished that you have neglected your own body to use it on my behalf." So this shows her chastity. "O respectful daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, today I'm very much pleased with you for your great devotion and most excellent loving service. Since the body is so dear to embodied beings, I'm astonished that you have neglected your own body." So he continues to say, "What is the use of enjoyments other than the Lord's grace? All material achievements are subject to annihilation simply by a movement of the eyebrows of Lord Vishnu. the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By your principles of devotion to your husband, you have achieved and can enjoy transcendental gifts very rarely obtained by persons proud of aristocracy and material possessions. So then Devahuti replies that she's very excited and emotion for him, and she wants him to make arrangements, you know, to take care, because he had just created that aerial mansion. And she was like very niggardly looking and, you know, emaciated, and she had matted hair. And so Kardamuni said, he said, "My dear Devahuti, you look very much afraid. First bathe in the lake Bindu Sarovar, created by Lord Vishnu himself, which can grant all desires of a human being, and then mount this airplane." So here's the airplane. So he was seeking to please her. And then after she saw this, she was ashamed to even enter it. So the sage told her, "Please enter into this lake." And this is what she did. So it contained the sacred waters from the teardrops of the Lord. And it's like the waters of the Sarasvati too. In there she found a house where 1,000 young girls presented themselves as her maidservants. And then the girls brought her valuable oils, ornaments, fine new clothes, and decorated her with excellent jewels. And in the mirror she beheld her reflection and saw that she was completely free of dirt and decorated with a flower garland. So this is all nice. So this, see the yogic power of this great sage. And it shows that there's valuable lessons on the chastity of Devahuti, with her devotion to her husband, her faithfulness, her purity, her self-sacrifice. And these are all essential for a chaste woman. And she also exhibited the following qualities, like control of the senses. She had sweet speech, humility. And so this way she was very much honored. She served her husband with love and respect, and she seeked him, always seeking to please him. She was faithful and never wavering in her devotion, and she was willing to follow him in the forest and live a simple life, even though she was accustomed to luxury. And then, as we know, the story goes on. She bears nine children and one son. So there's some really interesting metaphors here that we can glean from Srila Prabhupada's purports. So this lake of Lord Hari, it represents the boundless love and compassion of God. Just as a lake provides refreshment and sustenance to all who come to it, so too does God's love provide solace and support for all who seek it. And the lotuses in the lake, they're the hands and feet of the Lord. So this metaphor represents the beauty and purity of God. Just as lotuses are considered to be among the most beautiful flowers in the world, so too are God's hands and feet considered to be the most beautiful parts of his body. And the fish, they're his brilliant shining eyes. So this metaphor represents the omniscience of God. Just as fish are able to see in all directions, so too is God able to see everything that happens in the universe. And then the waves are considered to be his arms, you know. And this metaphor represents the power of God. Just as the waves can be powerful and destructive, so too God's power is capable of great things. And it flows, the current flows deep beyond fathoming. So this mentor represents the mystery of God. Just as the depths of a lake are often difficult to fathom, so too is the mystery of God often difficult to understand. So there's a very beautiful metaphor given by King Kulashekar, and it really relates to this. And I'll read that now. It's from that book. So King Kulashekar, a great devotee of the Lord Vishnu, used a beautiful metaphor to describe the benefits of taking part in the Krishna consciousness movement. He compared the Krishna consciousness movement to a rejuvenating lake. If a devotee dives into the lake and drinks its waters, all his exhaustion from material life will go away. This metaphor highlights the transformative power of Krishna consciousness movement and its ability to bring peace, happiness, and spiritual liberation to those who embrace it. So that's just one metaphor, a few metaphors from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very beautiful, and the different books. So after receiving it, having his son, and you know, because he left the son in charge of his mother and she enlightened him, and then Kardama Muni took the vow in the forest, took a vow of silence in order just to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Lord Nityananda's appearance day in 2018, and Lord Nityananda's appearance day in 2024. So I'm just going to end with this one purport from the Chaitanya Bhagavat and how it relates to our talk today. So in these verses, and in the verse 29, stress is given to one point. Harir archashritas chaye or harir archa. In other words, any place where the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by devotees is most significant. The Krishna consciousness movement is giving the population of the entire world a chance to take advantage of Krishna consciousness through the ISKCON centers, where one may perform deity worship and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and in this way obtain results with effectiveness increased 1,000 times. This constitutes the best welfare activity for human society. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, as it was predicted by him in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So just see, we may think, where is our holy lake Bindu Sarovar? We have it, as we described in many analogies, that this Krishna conscious movement is like a lake full of nectar, which Krishna has given to us as his mercy. And wherever the deities are, this is a special place where one can take, you know, great advantage and receive the benefits 1,000 times. So we have the same facilities and opportunities that Kardama Muni had and the great sages of past times. So I'll end there and see if anyone has any comments or questions. Yes, Bhrigupati Prabhu. Yes. A lot of them are created. I generate them. Yeah. Yeah. Through you can do that now through digital means. So, yeah. So it's nice. So like a lot of these, we don't have a lot of these paintings. And like some of the paintings, like this one here, they're cut, they're like portrait style. So I just expanded it and I created the, finished the mirror. The mirror was in half and I finished the mirror and I finished the rest of the ocean. Yeah. But it was like in the middle, if you just divide it into thirds, and then the middle third is the only thing, it was the actual painting. Oh, like this one? Yeah. Yeah. Those are generated. Yeah. Digital art, it's called. So, it's nice. But it's a combination of different programs, because, you know, it doesn't come out. You have to do some changes and things. But this is also the same way with different you know, image generations, and also with video software to put things together like that. But now, I mean, I didn't have time to do it, but you can actually make the ducks move and the elephants move and the deer moving, but I didn't have time to do that, so, and the water moving like that, so. But I just was able to put in the sounds. You paid the admission just by being here, making the decision to be here, to dive into the nectar. Yeah, so that's that. Yeah, any other comments, questions? Thank you for your kind patience and kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.